And so before I read the scripture, I want to set the stage for us today. I don't know about you, but I love a good underdog story. I love a good story of that nature. The unexpected, the unsuspecting people that come out of nowhere are chosen into a mission and accomplish far more than we would have ever thought. A people that are chosen. It's why if you follow basketball, I'm a basketball junkie. I love March Madness. And so when the Cinderella story happens, the 16 seed beating the number one seed, I'm like, here we go. This is a good story. Or growing up, we all, if you're a millennial in this room or older, do you remember the show Price is Right growing up? Bob Barker saying, come on down. And like, you can't wait for the sick day because you would watch Bob Barker and seeing the people chosen to be a part of the game show. Or American Idol and The Voice are on season 185 at this point. And you get to know their stories. And it's the same show over and over and over, but we still watch it. Why? Because we want to see who's been chosen at the end by America. We like stories of people being chosen. It's just in our DNA. And so today is Super Bowl 58. Some of you care, some of you don't. But San Francisco 49ers versus Kansas City Chiefs is on, and some of you care that Taylor Swift, more of what she's going to be like in craziness in her suite, but maybe that's why you're watching it, or for the commercials, but that is happening today. But the story I've been in tune with as it relates to the Super Bowl is this, the story of Brock Purdy. You see a picture of him right there. Many of you don't want him to win the Super Bowl, and that's okay. But I love the story of Brock Purdy. So if you know anything about his story, he was picked last. He was chosen last in the 2022 draft, I believe. And if you're picked last in the draft, you are what's called Mr. Irrelevant. Fitting name, because there's not much expected of you from being chosen last. But now, Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, is the third youngest quarterback in the Super Bowl to date. I think he's thrown something like 35 touchdowns this year, but this unsuspecting, irrelevant person has been chosen, and now he's in a place of having the mission of potentially winning a Super Bowl. But the reason why I love the story, and you'll probably hear of it today in some of the commentary, is because of who he gives glory to. Of who he acknowledges it's all about. And I have a short video for you here.
Come from, relative nowhere to be now the third youngest player quarterback to ever start a Super Bowl game. Like, how did that journey get you ready for this?
Yeah, it's honestly, I think it's just a testament to God and where he's taken me in life. I've never been the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, or any of that. I feel like I've always sort of had to fight for what I get and work for what I get, but God's always given me an opportunity, whether that was in high school, college, and then obviously in the NFL. Getting drafted last, people, overlook you and all that kind of stuff, and then all you need is an opportunity and when watch and see what he does. You know, I put my faith and trust in him, and he's gotten me where I'm at. So when I'm down 17 at half, honestly, I'm just like thinking, like, all right, God, you've taken me here, and win or lose, I'm going to glorify you. And that's my peace, that's the joy, that's the steadfastness, that's where I get it from, and that's the honest truth. So I leaned into that, and sure enough, we were able to come back.
All right, thank you, guys.
I love that video. That was from just after the NFC Championship game. That was the interview he gave. And so what do you see in that video? I saw a man who gives glory to God, viewing being really chosen, even as Mr. Irrelevant, as a gift. Appointed into a story much bigger than his own, making much of God's empowerment of his abilities, and win or lose, giving glory to God. That's a story we connect with, is it not? His story is one we connect with, and why? It's because it's our story if we're in Christ today. A story that we've been chosen by God, appointed to bear fruit, and empowered to love others, all for making much of him. And really, this last week of our Life in the Vineyard series is a repeat of all of these verses above. But it cements Jesus' rule and reign and sovereign rule over our lives. And so we're gonna press into what these verses say as we close this series. So if you would, open your Bibles with me to John 15. We're going to be reading verses 15 through 17. We read 15 last week, but it applies to our teaching today. Verse 15 says this: "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." Really, these last verses are a summation of what he wants to hit home in the disciples' minds. And the first observation I want to put in front of us today as it relates to Jesus saying this to the disciples is this: he chose you as a friend. He chose you as a friend. In speaking in this farewell discourse, Jesus is reminding the disciples that they are his friends, not servants, but he has called them friends. And he goes on to say the first part of verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." What is Jesus saying here? What are the disciples hearing when they hear these words? Well, you see, within Jewish tradition, the students would choose the rabbi. The students would choose the rabbi of who they were to follow, but not in Jesus' case. Because Jesus chose the disciples. In Matthew 4, while Jesus was walking by Peter and Andrew, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they followed. He chose them. With Matthew, the tax collector, at the tax booth, he said, "Follow me," and he went. In Mark's account, 1:19, Jesus saw James and John, and he called them. He chose them. Jesus chose them, not the other way around. One commentary writes it this way: "Jesus shows them that his love for them was pure and disinterested, that it commenced when they had no affection for him, that it was not a matter of obligation on his part. Jesus chose them not based on any performance, not based on what they were doing, not based on talent that they had, but purely by his will for his purposes. He chose them. And not only that, but he shares that in that choosing of them, they are his friends, not servants who are unaware, but friends who fully are made aware of who the Father is, with full access to God the Father. And why should that matter to us today? Is because if we are in Christ, he has chosen us and not the other way around. I think if I'm not careful in my relationship with God, I can act like he owes me something for the thought that I chose him. Any of you in that boat, you get to a moment in your life where you're like, "God, this is not working out the way I planned," and so it's almost like God's my genie, right? I'm doing him a favor for, quote-unquote, submitting my life to him. No, he chose us, not the other way around. And he has given us himself, this asymmetrical relationship where he gave everything. We're supposed to lean in and abide with him, and that's our only call. He chose us as friends. And in Ephesians 1, 3 through 6, it's up. It'll be up on the screen. He goes on to talk about this idea of choosing us. Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. He chose us before the foundations of the world. We didn't choose him if we are in Christ today. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, we were dead. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the good news today. That he did it all. He gave that which was most precious. He came to us because we couldn't clean ourselves up and think we are better than and perform enough because we are incapable due to sin. But in his sovereign will, he saw us, chose us, and he is now giving himself to us as his friend. And he's not only leaving us there just to choosing us, he's putting us in a place alongside him to say, hey, I've given you purpose, and we'll talk about that in a second. But he chose us, not the other way around. A writer positions this thought of friendship this way, that because he is our friend, he cares for us. He provides for us, he loves us, he counsels, he comforts and encourages us, and ultimately receives us to himself. But the greatest benefit of having God for one's friends is quite simply having God for one's friend. Friendship with God is its own reward. God is the greatest conceivable good and the source of all other goods. To know and enjoy God is the very essence of life. This is what we were made for. And apart from God, we cannot attain our true end purpose. In friendship with God, we find rest for our soul. So not only has he chosen us, those who were dead in our trespasses, not based on anything we could give, but based on what he did, he has given us friendship and love and care and counsel. And that is the good, good news, church. And that is what he is saying to his disciples. He's saying, be tethered to me. Apart from me, you can do nothing, and with me, I will do everything through you that accomplish it for your needed purpose. It's the good news, church. And that's the news he invited the disciples to remember and for us to remember today. Today, if you are in Christ, he has chosen you as friends, and are you resting and abiding in that truth? Or living as if God owes you something for your relationship with him? Where are you at with that? One lives in the truth of abiding. The other lives in the truth of abiding in self. Second observation is this. He appoints you to bear fruit that he will keep. He appoints you to bear fruit that he will keep. In verse 16 of John 15, it reads, you did not choose me, but I chose you. But he didn't just choose the disciples. He appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He appoints you to bear fruit that he will keep. You see, as we abide with Jesus in our everyday lives, he takes what is irrelevant and ordinary and broken and gives it meaning and purpose. He bears fruit of righteousness, both the fruit of the Spirit in us and the fruit of disciple-making through us and our story he has given us, because he has appointed us in him to bear fruit. He is saying to his disciples and to us today that as you live in your relationship with me as a friend and submit your purposes to me, your self-ruled will, I will reveal the life in and through you that I will keep. He's doing it all. He appoints you today to bear fruit that he will keep. Doesn't that sound like like we have purpose in him? Doesn't that sound good? Shouldn't that be bringing so much life to us? Because we all long for that ultimate purpose and life, but either we go look for it apart from him and don't abide, or the circumstances of life hit and it shakes our abiding and it shakes our trust in his appointment of us. Let me share with you a story to explain this more specifically. So I got permission from my wife to share this, so this is all approved. But in March of this past, in 2023, God was doing a work in us as a couple, where we took a moment and said, we've been praying and seeking God together for probably 6-7 months before that, and God was leading me. I was a former executive pastor at a church in New York, but he was leading us into a new season. We were just seeking him in prayer, and we had to step out. We stepped out in faith in March of 22, not knowing what was next, but just knowing God has called us to trust in him for that. And during that time, we had comfort. We had comfort relationally. We had comfort locationally. And we had comfort with the friendships and financially we were in. We were in a comfortable place, but God called us out of that, and we were sure of it. But I didn't know what was next. We didn't know what was next. But we know he had plans for it. And so over that next 3 months, it was a self-imposed sabbatical for myself and for us, and we ended up walking through this process here with Grace Community to come on board over that 3 months, and we were just walking in faith. He was bearing new fruit that I had never walked out. That's counter to Mike Tropea. I like comfort, I like predictability, and I like financial stability, and that was anything but. But God was doing a new work, bearing fruit in me and bearing fruit in us. And so in June of last year, I got the call about coming on board, being the campus pastor here. And we were excited. We were excited to see God's plan unfold. And here we are in July. So we packed up the house, got the house ready to sell, and landed on Texas soil July 15th. And we were here. And it was cool to see God work. He was fulfilling his promises. And we were walking in the appointed mission he had for us as a family. And the crazy thing about our story, too, is this. I've shared a little bit about it, but my wife and I haven't been able to conceive for 6 years since my daughter was born. We don't know why. We don't know the details of it all, but we just trusted God, and we were walking through a season of that. But on July 15th, the day we landed on Texas soil, we found out my wife was pregnant. 6 years of not happening. The day we landed on Texas soil and walking in what God had for us, we were seeing fruit from it, and we were excited. We were hopeful. And then 4 weeks later, we went into our 8-week appointment to get the heartbeat and of little one, and we found out a week before that little one had stopped growing. And I wouldn't lie to tell you to say that made me question a lot. That made me question a lot about the appointment God had us on. And we're still walking through the grieving, and would be the second miscarriage. There was pain in my heart. There was question about God's goodness. But here's what I didn't question. Here's what we didn't question. We cried a lot. We asked a lot of questions, but I didn't question God's goodness, because he was the only thing that is sure. And in a sea of uncertainty with where we were in that moment and walking through the next couple weeks and little one passing through, it was hard. But we had knew that he had chosen us as friends, and he knows a greater story than what we know on the ground. And these are just circumstances in our lives. And we know that he has appointed us for his mission to bear fruit in us and through us. And he was doing a work and bearing fruit in us through something that was really hard. But we knew he was good. And I don't know if you are walking through a moment right now where that resonates, where you're questioning the appointment and the journey God has you on, but I can promise you, he will use it for his good. He will produce fruit in you that is deeper than you could accomplish on your own, understanding your own story. He was telling the disciples, hey, be with me. I have chosen you. I have given you purpose. And there will be stuff along the way that will shake you, but lean in closer, and it will be better than you can ever imagine, and it will be momentary, and I will give you a purpose, and there will be people blessed through that, and I will keep it. And we have been able to share that story with a few on the ground who have been walking through stuff, and they've been encouraged, but it's still hard. But the encouragement, my encouragement to you, if you are in a circumstance that is hard, trust and lean in deeper. Don't let that shake your appointment on God's ultimate choosing of you, and press deeper into his loving arms. He can use that fruit and story to encourage others where they are at in their story. And trust me, if you are in Christ today, he has appointed you to go and bear fruit. He has given you a purpose in your story that will inevitably have waves. But just like Jesus commissioning the disciples in this farewell, as we continue to abide in him, he will produce fruit in us that is deeper than we can ever imagine, have more impact as we share that with others than we dare expect, and our wills will align more and more with his, and we can trust that the Father will give us all we ask in his perfect way. Are you living in the appointment that Jesus has given you to go and bear fruit? Do you trust that in the circumstances of your life that he is still good and that appointment is still sure? Are you abiding in Jesus today? And the last observation I want to make from today is this. He empowers you to love. Last week was a whole message on being a people of love, but he's wrapping a bow on this, reminding them that he is the one who empowers our love. In the end, in verse 17, he says, "These things I command you so that you will love one another." He empowers you to love. 1 John 4:19 puts it simply this: we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. We who were dead in our sin, who were helpless in our own state, have been made alive because of Christ, because he loved us. And so if we truly believe that apart from him we can do nothing, then the source of our love is sourced in him and his ultimate act of kindness. We know 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6 talks is the love chapter that's read at just about every single wedding you could possibly conceive and you've been at. But the source of all of this is in God's love for us. The source of our patience, the source of our kindness, the source of our understanding, the source of our humility, the source of our selflessness, the source of our steadfastness, the source of our rejoicing, the source of everything is empowered by the love he first showed us in Jesus' life, in his sacrificial death, and his overcoming the grave. It first starts there, and so he empowers us to be the people of love by first showing that love, embodying our ultimate good. And so if we are daily dependent on him, we draw from his reservoir that we are incapable of in our flesh to give to others. As Ephesians 1:23 says, Christ is all in all. He empowers our love. And that is the good news today, that we don't have to drum up on our own this well of love to be doing loving things. He is the source. So as we abide, and that's what he's saying to his disciples, is as you abide in me, this will be inherent in who you are, and you will be responsive from that place to do anything but being a people of love. So my question for you is, are you abiding? It's been the question of the whole series together, is are you abiding? As I begin to close, do you see and believe that God has chosen you for a purpose, church? Do you believe God has appointed you where you are at your current job, in your current relational status, in your current struggle, in your current placement, maybe within where you are at school, to go and make fruit that he will keep? Do we as individuals and as a church believe that he has empowered us because of Christ to be people of love today? And is all of this founded, formed, and molded in the person and work of Jesus or yourself? We need to realize that dependency on Jesus is a daily pursuit. And just like the big idea shared at the very beginning, true life is found and experienced only on dependency in Jesus, the true vine. Because apart from him, church, I can do absolutely nothing. Do we understand that? Is that the case for us today? Church, my heart for us is that we see, and people see us as this most loving people, not because of how great or flashy or how great we do a gathering on a Sunday morning, but they can see Christ in us because we are so holding tightly in our daily lives, in our groups, in the way we serve to Jesus and taking all things to Him. Is that the case with us today? Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you chose us. The Mr. and Mrs. Irrelevance, the broken and hurting, the dead in our trespasses and sin. And you didn't just stay at a distance and say, figure it out, but you incarnated humanity. You lived perfectly. You died a gruesome death on a cross that we deserved, and you absorbed all sin upon yourself that we rightly deserve that cross, but you absorbed it onto yourself because you were rich in mercy and you gave that which was most precious to you, God. And I pray that we see that you have chosen us and that we can do nothing apart from you. And not only did you choose us to be, just choose us, you called us to be friends with full access to the Father. And just like these first disciples, you gave them a commission, you give us an appointment that to go and bear fruit both in us and be and make disciples through us, and you will keep it because that's what you promised. And not only that, God, that you empower us today because you first loved us to be a people of love, so you sovereignly will these things. Help us to submit our selfish struggles, our walking and abiding in ourselves, and hand that over to a life of abiding with you, and let that be us as a church family. That we just be a people that just shout, great are you, Lord. Because you are the only one worthy of glory, not ourselves, but you. Thank you for waking us up from a slumber and saving our hearts and raising us up with you, of which we didn't deserve. You are such a gracious God, and help us respond as you rightly are deserved of the glory and praise that you deserve. God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.